under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have here on this broadcast each and every day. May I remind you, as we set the stage, we ask the questions, we give the information, we invite you to call in, join in that dialogue and discussion. That telephone number, many times I get caught up in the program and forget to share with you. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're talking about our government going awry. What should we do? It's not if our government's gone awry. It has. So that declaratory statement, what should we do? How should we respond? What are the evidences that we are witnessing the deterioration, the dismantling of our governmental system in America today? We find that all over the place. And it's simply because, I believe, because of envy, anger, hostility, and hatred toward President Donald J. Trump. Now, before I get into the monologue, let me read to you some verses in Daniel, the 6th chapter. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over those three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Verse 4 and 5. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Hang on to those words. Neither was there found any error or fault found in him. He is faithful. He is faultless. Doesn't mean he's perfect. Faithful. He's faultless. And the scripture says in verse 10 that he's fearless. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, the king set an order that you couldn't pray to any god except his God for 30 days. Daniel refused to obey. So all of the leadership tried to find fault with him. Their approach was, we're going to undermine him, tear down, and destroy him. And the whole thing was because of their envy against Daniel, their hatred and animus toward. Listen, as I've preached that text before, if they had had in that day the CIA, the FBI, the DHS, and the DOJ, they would have had all the thugs with badges out searching in Daniel's garbage cans, trash cans, looking at his emails, listening to his text messages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to find fault with him, but they could not. The only thing they could find fault with him, and that's the reason they had the king to set up an order for 30 days, that you could not pray for 30 days, because Daniel continued to pray. Daniel did not listen to, did not adhere to, did not bow to, did not submit to the king's order that he could not pray for 30 days. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have a good example in that Daniel chapter 6 text as to the big picture of what is taking place today in America, in our government. Donald J. Trump is hated. There's animus and hate and envy, as I have not witnessed in my lifetime, against any human being. The Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party will do anything to prevent him from draining the swamp and cleaning the sewer in our nation. As Greg has said on the radio broadcast several times with me before, that the Democrats would burn America down if they could rule over the ashes. And I believe that's what we're witnessing today. Even when we see, even when we discover that Joe Biden had ordered the signatures by AutoPen for the giving of pardons to dozens and dozens and dozens of people. And now President Trump is saying, and I'm quoting, President Trump is saying that Joe Biden and his way out the door, all of those pardons are void, vacant, and of no further force or effect. That's what was taking place under the Biden administration, because of the ineptness, because of the inability. And that was what the Socialist, Marxist, Communist wanted, so that they could use Joe Biden as a puppet. But Donald J. Trump is not a puppet. Donald J. Trump has made a commitment in his campaign to clean the swamp and drain the sewer and to find waste, fraud, and abuse and to correct it. And he's doing that. And that's what we'll be talking about today. But let me remind you that as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we need to have a source, a central point of reference for truth. And that's the Word of God. In fact, in John 8:31-32, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, according to Psalms 117 and verse 2, that endures forever. Yet it was Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that's the case today. Now, when you talk with the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, when you talk with the Marxist media, they will say, "Well, Trump lies. Well, Trump is erratic. Trump is wanting to be a dictator, et cetera, et cetera." All you got to do is ask one question, point out one lie. Point out one indication that he wants to be a dictator. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not there. It's fiat accusation. Just as you find in the Daniel 6 text, where all of those that were envious of Daniel because of his promotion by the king, and the king placed him in that position so that there would be no hurt or harm coming to the kingdom of the people that he was ruling over. So he wanted to place Daniel, rather than being third in line, wanted to place him first in line. And all the detractors then were unleashed on him to try to destroy him. That's what we see happening today with the Donald J. Trump administration and what Trump is attempting to do for America. In fact, it is the deviation from truth that's bringing about the elements of disarray in our nation today. It is the deviation from the truth of what is happening in our nation with President Donald J. Trump that is causing the disarray in our government. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." And yet we find, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials say that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, they make a statement that is frightening. Their position is, millennials, they say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. And defend the truth, even to death. And I pray that you're ready to stand and defend the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the further we go along in this era, further down the road toward final end of this old age, further we go toward the rapture of the church, the more we're going to find a blurring of the lines between that which is false and that which is true. You see that today when you turn your dial on the television and watch some of the media people and their interviews. I watched several interviews last evening, portions of the interviews, where the one that's making the statement, just simply by fiat, pulling facts out of the air and making them, pulling fables out of the air and making it sound like facts. And that's what it has declined to in America. It's the reason I say our government's gone awry. And the question is, what should we do? How should we respond? Ezekiel 33:10, after God had pointed out to Ezekiel the need to be the watchman on the wall, the question was in 33:10, Ezekiel, how should we then live? So if we see the government going awry, how should we live? How should we view? What should we ingest as truth? How should we embrace what is taking place? Should we simply toss in the towel? Should we simply say it's a lost cause? Should we simply pull away from all the... There's some today in the Christian circles that are saying the government is dirty, nasty, politics is wicked and evil, therefore stay away from it, have nothing to do with it, et cetera, et cetera. That's the worst thing in the world we could do. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. Tools for Time has a 165-foot flagpole on their campus. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. One final statement of the monologue before we open our telephone lines. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump, I believe, is on the fast track today of draining the swamp, cleaning the sewer. But could we conclude that the same warfare that was used by the Marxist media and the woke culture with the political puppets used in Trump's campaign now attempts to find some way to prevent President Trump from carrying out what he promised in his campaign? I believe that's what we see taking place. There's an attempt today to prevent his full steam ahead with what his election campaign said that he would do. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump said that he was going to drain the swamp, clean the sewer. He was going to find the waste, fraud, and abuse in government. Now, I'm going to ask you a question before we make the transition with the open lines. Would any family listening today, whether Republican or Democrat, reject or refuse the lowering of the cost for your family? Would you? Would you, simply because Trump is doing it, would you reject a reduction in the price of eggs? Would you reject a reduction in the price of oil, gasoline at the tank? Crude oil just a couple of days ago, it dropped about $67 a barrel. That's down from about $110 a barrel, $120 a barrel at some points of the Biden administration. Of course, in the first administration of Donald Trump, crude oil had dropped to about $19 to $20 a barrel. Ladies and gentlemen, would you object to, toss the towel in, and refuse to accept honesty and integrity in government? Would you refuse to accept a president that's willing to risk his life, yea, and has had three or better attempts of assassination on his life? Would you reject that simply because it's Donald J. Trump? Well, that's what is taking place across America today. That's what's taking place out of the Socialist Marxist Communist Party. And I believe we're seeing that. Look at the headline. Moved into hyperdrive. Media doubling down with Trump hostility as part of the resistance. Both neutrality and objectivity were discarded years ago by many of the journalists and journalism schools. The media never were friendly to President Donald J. Trump during his first term. Verbal violence against the president was common, and organized attacks were routine. Included were reports of the falsified Steele dossier, the Russia collusion conspiracy, and much, much more. It was during the 4 years between his terms, and the media's attack as it escalated. With the reporting of the various Democrat lawfare cases against Trump, the FBI raid against Mar-a-Lago, and more. But now, in his second term, the media hostility to Trump has moved into hyperdrive. That's according to the constitutional scholar Jonathan Turley. He said, quote, as expected, the media treatment of Trump resumed where it ended in the first term in outright warfare. He called on the media to move into, called the media's move into hyperdrive when Joe Biden left the White House and Trump moved in. That's exactly what we see that has taken place. The question is that what we're going to allow to happen? Is that what we're going to believe is possible? Is it possible that God divinely intervened the second time by putting President Trump into office to give America a little breathing room, a little respite for us to turn back to God as a nation? I believe Bob's on the line. Bob, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor, I got a couple questions for you. President Trump we're getting pretty close to tax day, April 15th, I think it is. President Trump talked about no tax on tips. He talked about no tax on Social Security. He talked about giving everyone a $5,000 refund. He talked about opening up the Epstein files. He said that he was going to bomb Hamas. He said that he was going to bomb Iran. He's made a lot of comments. Now, I'm a big Trump fan, so I think you know me. Don't get me wrong. But has he gotten a little bit ahead of himself?
Well, one of the things I think is taking place, let's just use, for example, in a writing of a book, and I've had the privilege of researching and writing and authoring about 20 books in the past 40-plus years. In writing a book, the introduction of the book, the introductory pages, should set forth what you'll find in the rest of the book. Then you look at the table of contents, and it outlines everything that's going to be in the book. President Trump has simply given what I would call an introduction to his administration as to what he intends to do. By the way, just as of day before yesterday, he said that he plans on having the IRS to set it up on the basis. Number one, he said he'd like to do away with the IRS. But in any event, he said that should be no taxes on a family of four making less than, I believe it was $150,000 a year or something like that, that there'd be no taxation. We started the taxation in 1913. Prior to 1913, all income revenue for the federal government was from tariffs. And he's instituted tariffs now that he says, as he puts it, is going to bring in a lot of money, a whole lot of money into American treasury. So answering your question specifically, give him time. I believe that he's going to attempt to accomplish all that he's talking about. We've already seen him go in and right now bombing the Houthis in Yemen because of their attacks in the Red Sea on some U.S. ships, et cetera, et cetera. He said he would do it. He's doing it. We are witnessing what is taking place now in Israel, and Trump is standing behind Benjamin Netanyahu as Benjamin Netanyahu goes into against Hamas and is bombing them and strafing them and getting the Hamas cleaned out, as he said he would do. He is, listen, Bob, I'm amazed at the strength, the energy, and the intelligence, the wisdom, and the tenacity that Trump has. I don't see how the man sleeps. I don't know when he sleeps. But I'm, again, thankful. And I'm not trying to place all of our marbles into one barrel, if you will. I'm not trying to say we need to place our total trust and confidence in a person. But I believe that God has given us Donald Trump as an advocate for us in the White House to carry out the task. I'll read one verse of Scripture. Put not your trust in the princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. That's in Psalms 146:3. So I'm not advocating that we put our total faith and trust in Trump, but in God, that God would work through Donald J. Trump to carry out the task that I believe God would have for the United States of America. I believe we need to continue to pray for Trump, that God will protect him, give him wisdom and strength to carry out what he's made a commitment to do. That's my position on it, and I believe it's your position also. Good questions, Ron. I'm thankful that you've observed it in that fashion, and you recognize it. And simply, if it doesn't happen today, it'll happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day. I'm carrying out the things that he said he was going to do. He said he would deport all of the illegal invaders. He's doing that. He's got 120 some odd suits against him and against Elon Musk and against J.D. Vance, et cetera, et cetera, by the Marxist media and the unhinged judges that think they can rule the Oval Office. We're going to talk about that further in the broadcast today. But Bob, thank you so much for your call. God bless you and keep looking up. I believe Miranda's on the line. Miranda, go over the question and comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I always, when we talk about the changes that can be made, I'm amazed at Donald Trump's ability to make the changes that he has, because as quickly as he has, because of the fact that in my lifetime, I don't remember any president ever really affecting a quick change on anything. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I equate the American, our government, to like a giant ship or maybe a train rolling down the track. It's got momentum and it's going to keep moving forward, and it's going to take a little while to stop it or to turn it to where we can see the changes that he's trying to make. It's a, it's a huge conglomerate of people that are not cooperative with any kind of conservative views or anything like that. They're not going to be cooperative. It's going to be a fight every step of the way, I'm afraid, but that's just their nature. And talking about whether we would be, whether they'll accept the cheaper eggs and the cheaper gas and all that. Of course they will. Of course they will. But they,
but they'll,
somehow or other, they'll tie it to Biden.
They'll say that Biden did it, or Chuck Schumer did it, or that Nancy Pelosi did it, or Hakeem Jeffers, or one or the other. They come in, they made the magic, waved the magic wand and made it happen under the Trump administration. But you go back to your premise that you made about the, as I would call it, a juggernaut going down the highway. You cannot turn it around quickly. Take a giant ship, as you said, is a good illustration. You have to turn it slowly. I'm a pilot. You can get in the cockpit of an airplane and you want to make a change of direction, you can't just all of a sudden turn the yoke and snatch it in that direction. You've got to slowly go into that bend to get to where you wanted to make the change in your flight plan. And that's the same is true with Trump. He's having to go at, but I am amazed, Miranda, at the speed, the warp speed,
yeah,
that he is attacking these problems. And at the same time, I think he's looking at it on the basis, I know that I've got 4 years. I know that we're going to have a battle. Let's have the battle at the first couple of years and get it over with so we can get some other things done. And so he is fighting a kingdom of darkness, wickedness, and evil in our nation.
Absolutely.
Where it has gotten totally out of hand. And Miranda, it's the fault, I blame it on our Congress, because Congress has the responsibility of oversight and direction, and there's been no oversight in probably 50 to 60 years, or we will not have the ball of worms that we have today that he's trying to annihilate and put out of existence. So I'm thankful that God has allowed him to survive. I'm thankful that Trump has the wisdom and the tenacity to do what he's doing. So what does
and
that
I
mean?
And I pray for him every day. I pray for Trump and his perseverance and his protection every day.
That is needed, and that's the whole point in the bottom line of this broadcast is, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, and providing Donald J. Trump, giving him the tenacity, the backbone, and the perseverance to do what he's doing. And so, Miranda, we need to keep praying, just as you've said, asking God to give us, give President Trump strength, and most of all, just as in 2 Chronicles 7:14, asking God to heal our land. And it takes the divine intervention of God to heal the wounds that we have in America today. Miranda, thank you so much for your call. Good points, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today, government gone awry. What should we do? How should we respond? The government's gone awry. Should we sit back and say nothing? Should we sit back and take the mindset that somehow, some way, we don't have to say or do anything? Let me ask you a question, just tossing in this question mixed with what we're speaking about today. With Joe Biden, if in fact all of his pardons were signed by Otto Penn, if all of his the laws that he signed were signed by Otto Penn, who handled the Otto Penn? Who made the decision to sign them? Does Joe Biden remember them? Are they enforceable? Are they enforceable? President Trump and those geniuses that work around him have already said that his pardons would not be enforceable if they were signed with auto pens, because he probably did not know that he was signing them, and so they're not enforceable. That means that the entire Biden family cabal, that means that Sir Anthony Fauci and others are open for a corrective action that I believe needs to be taken against them. Sir Anthony Fauci, for example, I believe is responsible for the death of millions of people around the globe. Anthony Fauci is responsible for the destruction of morals, ethics, and values, and businesses and commerce in America as a result of his deceit, his lying, and being bought and paid for by Big Pharma. Will he ever be caught, tried, convicted, sentenced, and pay the penalty for his crime? I don't know, but I think that we need to recognize that maybe, just maybe, there's a loophole enough that these people that need to be caught, tried, convicted, and prosecuted can be done so. It could be done in that fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline, moved into hyperdrive, media doubling down on Trump's hostility as part of the resistance. I find it interesting and yet sad, ladies and gentlemen, what we're finding. For example, this article says verbal violence against the president was common in his first administration. Organized attacks were routine. And it goes on to talk about those attacks and what was taking place. And now, as Jonathan Turley has said, it's gone into hyperdrive. I'd call it overdrive. It has gone into warp speed, the attempt to try to destroy and prevent President Trump. So what's the major thing in your view, as our listeners, in your view, what's the major thing that the Marxist media, the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, are against Trump on at this present time? What are the major things? And there's two of them as I see it. Number one, DOGE, that is the Department of Governmental Excellence. And then the second thing is his deportation of the those that are here illegally, the invaders, that are guilty of rape, robbery, mayhem, other events that they've carried out in our nation, and they're already here illegally. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, I'm amazed at the number of people, attorneys and others, that have taken the stand that these people deserve a constitutional day in court, that these illegal invaders that are being deported, those that are rapists, robbers, and murderers, need to be given the opportunity to have their day in court and to defend themselves. We need to pay for their defense. We need to pay for them to have food, clothing, and shelter during the process. And it's illegal, according to some of these judges, to deport them. We're going to look at that for the balance of this broadcast today. What is it that they claim is illegal? Can these judges literally stop President Trump, or is it unconstitutional for them to intervene and inject themselves into trying to direct the Oval Office? We'll talk about that right after the top of the hour news, so hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ.